Welcome back, my friends, to our study of the life and times of Jesus Messiah here at Gainesville Bible Church. If this is your first time joining us, we're studying the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus by harmonizing the four gospel records, examining the biblical events as they occurred in chronological order. Now, thus far, we've looked back into time before the actual birth of Jesus as we continue to study the preliminary events leading up to and setting the stage for the first advent of Jesus into this mortal plane. And today we come to the second major song of praise in Luke. A few weeks back, we marveled at Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat. And today we will discover that our repentant priest, Zacharias, is overjoyed at the birth of his son and the removal of his curse. And he bursts into a spontaneous song of joy, a song of praise to God the Father for his mercy and his grace. Last week, Zacharias demonstrated unconditional faith when he refused to compromise in the naming of his son. And in our study today, we'll continue in Luke chapter 1 as we join in Zacharias' song of praise and prophecy, the Benedictus. In Luke chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Beautiful, beautiful song. We will go back to verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. Now, this song for centuries has been titled the Benedictus of Zacharias. And the title comes from the first word of his song in Latin. Benedictus is Latin for blessed. See, this song praises God for his promised messianic deliverance. And Zach rejoices that God would use his son John as a significant player in this prophesied deliverance. In this song, Zach ascribes glory to God for his faithfulness. The accolades recognize that God has kept his word, his promises made to his people through the prophets of old. There are at least 16 different references or quotations of Old Testament passages embedded in this song of praise. Zach's response to the good news is understood and welcomed in much the same fashion as Mary in her Magnificat. And Zach's insight, his intelligible utterance, is powered by God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled and controlled Zach and enabled him to prophesy in accordance with the ancient prophets of old. In verse 68, he continues, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." So here, Zacharias is offering blessing to God in the form of praise. The main theme of this prophetic song of praise is God's redemption through the Davidic ruler, Messiah. See, God has not abandoned the promises he made to Israel through the prophets. God has visited his people. He's in the process of delivering his people through the advent of the Davidic king, Messiah. And Messiah will accomplish redemption, set his people free from their oppressors, their enemies, upon his visitation. Now, is this reference to redemption, salvation for Israel that Zach's referring to here, is it salvation from physical enemies or spiritual enemies? Well, I think the obvious answer here is both. You see, God's promised repeatedly in the Old Testament to restore Israel to a place of global prominence. Now, this was postponed at the nation's rejection of her king that we will see later on down the road. But it's yet to be realized in the life to come. God will indeed keep his promise to Israel. But the real enemy of God's people is sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So Messiah has also come to save his people, not just from their physical enemies, but from their own sin. Verse 69, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant. In Scripture, a horn is the symbol for strength. What's absolutely essential to understand concerning salvation is that God not only intends to keep his promises, he not only desires salvation for his people, but by virtue of his omnipotence, his sovereign power, he is able, by the horn of his strength, to save. And he foretold of his plan to send Messiah through the lineage of David long ago. As mighty a king as David was, he bows in servitude and humility before the Lord of hosts, Messiah. In verse 70, as he spoke by the mouth of his prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father. So Messiah's redemption, his salvation, would be both political and spiritual. God would keep his promise of mercy toward the nation Israel. God would keep his promise. What promise? Well, the covenant in focus here is the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis chapter 22, where God promised Abraham a perpetually blessed lineage, victory over his enemies, and blessing for all nations through Abraham's family. In verse 74, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. You see, embedded here we find the purpose of the redemption, the reason for salvation. And the purpose of the praise of Zacharias is that God would remove oppression, prohibition, and provide opportunity to serve him unrestrained. The goal of redemption is not material prosperity or even rest in heaven. The goal of redemption is service to God in holiness and submission. God does great things for his people. He saves, he redeems, he keeps his word. But he also grants those whom he has saved a great privilege to serve him. See, salvation leads to service. It's why we've been saved. Next, we'll find that Zacharias' praise includes thanksgiving that God has ordained his son, John, to participate in the earthly ministry of Messiah. In verse 76, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways. One of the many things that's always impressed me about John the Baptist was his meekness, humility. See, he came out of the desert like a prophet Elijah, and multitudes of people flocked to him wherever he went, preaching the message of repentance. For Messiah is here. And at the pinnacle of his ministry, when the stadiums were full, when John the Baptist was the topic of every conversation, that's when Jesus came on the scene. And when he did, John dropped his microphone and left the stage. What humility! Maybe that's why Jesus said, there's no one on the planet greater than John. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. See, John was indeed prophet of the Most High. He introduced the Son of the Most High, who was conceived by the Spirit of the Most High. In verse 77, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. Sunrise from on high. Later, Jesus will identify himself as the light of the world. It says, because of the tender mercy of our God. God demonstrated his great mercy in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. It was because of God's mercy that he reversed the curse through the perfect sacrifice, Messiah. In verse 79, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace, to guide our feet in the way of peace. What a wonderful song. What a wonderful prophecy. I'd like to mention something here that I hope hasn't gotten lost in all this excitement. Do you remember when we first met Zacharias? Now, we knew he was a righteous man, a man of God, a priest even. Then we were exposed to his weak faith. He stumbled. He struggled in his faith. When God spoke to Zach through the angel Gabriel, he doubted God's word. He said, "Show me, prove it to me." And he was disciplined by God. But that didn't mean the end of his spiritual journey. It didn't mean the end of his ministry. He didn't lose his salvation. He wasn't exiled from the family of God. He was disciplined. He repented of his wavering faith and was restored with more faith than he ever had before. Have you ever experienced failure in your Christian walk with God? Have you ever had doubts? Have you ever found yourself outside of his prescribed will for your life? Don't despair. See, we can learn from God's dealings with Zacharias that God doesn't discard his own. He doesn't kick us to the curb when we sin. The encouragement of Scripture is that he who began a work in us will complete that work. You see, he started a work in us, a ministry, a work, an eternal destiny. And he has promised to complete that work of sanctification in those whom he has called. Oh, yes, God will indeed finish that which he has started. And when we stumble along the way, he's anxious to restore us. He provides the discipline that we need. We submit to that discipline. And when we come out the other side, we find that we've grown in the process. We're closer to him now than we were before the discipline. We respect him. We trust him even more. I've mentioned on several occasions that I keep two well-worn scripture cards in each of my back pockets. And I find myself reaching for one or the other on a consistent basis. Now, one card is Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. You know the passage. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, this is a tremendous comfort to me at times when I just can't get my head around the whys and the I don't understands of this life. God tells me here there are things I'm not going to understand. I'm finite. My understanding is limited. I'm not God, and I don't have his perspective. Great help. But the other one is even more significant. The other card I also rely on is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that's God's proven MO. We see it here with Zach, and we see it in all of God's people throughout history. Who has ever not needed to rely on 1 John 1:9? When we find ourselves in Zach's shoes, moments of doubt, weak faith, when we lean more on our own understanding than God's revealed will, We find ourselves saying, well, I know what that's what your word says, but when we feel someone tap us on the shoulder and we turn around to find it's the floor, we should take great comfort in 1 John 1:9. We confess. We agree with God that He's right and we're wrong. He forgives and restores. Where's your relationship with Him today? Are you somewhere you don't want to be? Has He gotten your attention yet? Are you tired of being deaf and mute? Well, have you confessed your sin before Him? See, this incident in the life of an old priest in the hill country of Judea should teach us something. Which part of the life of Zacharias do you want to emulate today? The muted, restricted life of self-reliance, weak faith, or the joyous celebration of a life marked by trust, obedience to Him? The guilt and debilitation of sin confessed, removed. Maybe you'd like to borrow my scripture cards. Well, that's right. You have your own. Until next time, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here and below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.